Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, Alicia Malone with Scott Movie Mance and the Schmoes Know. This is Profiled. In-depth spotlights on the greatest filmmakers and artists in motion picture history.
Hello, Schmoville. Welcome to the 24th annual Profiles. Here is our Oscar, because today we are spotlighting a very, very, very special legend, the one, the only Meryl Streep.
And you have to dress up for Meza.
We have to dress up for Meryl. We have to bring our A game. We can't wear the t-shirts. She is nominated for her 19th Academy Award for her performance as the witch in Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. And we have two special guests on today's show. And profilers, we have a huge, huge announcement at the end of this show.
Yes.
That is going to rock your world just like it rocked ours. Wait till you hear it. But we have a great show. Before then, mm-hmm. Alicia, what is it about Meryl Streep that literally makes her the greatest actress of all time?
Well, I'm glad that you can't see my feet, first off, because I'm wearing Converse sneakers with a fancy dress to be comfortable. But Meryl Streep, she's the greatest living actress. She is a total chameleon. She can do it all. We've seen her in dramas. We've seen her in comedy and musicals and biopics. She can do any accent. Polish, German, Australian. I mean, she's incredible.
And she just makes it sound so easy, doesn't she?
And she's so elegant. She has so much dignity and class all the time.
She commands the screen better than any other actress or even actor. And just like last week when we were doing Tom Hanks, it was so hard for us to come up with a Fast Five.
Yeah.
I think we had an even harder time coming up with a Fast Five for Meryl Streep. Like you said, a true chameleon, disappears into her roles. Huge commitment, major, major perfectionist, as she should be. 48 live action features.
Wow.
Since 1977. Master of dialect, Mike Nichols, who directed her in Silkwood, Heartburn, Postcards from the Edge, and Angels in America, had this to say about Meryl Streep. Meryl can be anyone. No one understands what she does or how she does it. It's great to be near her and to be a part of it. It's great to see her happen. It's great that she never loses an iota of the joy of doing it. The late, great Mike Nichols, who died this past past November.
Well, Meryl is, she's 65. She's still surprising audiences. You said how she got her 19th Academy Award nomination. That was for Into the Woods.
Yep.
I mean, who would have thought?
And she stole that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, she really, just when you thought you'd seen Meryl Streep do it all, as the witch, you're just like, I'm like, my God, she's incredible.
She can do anything.
But she just chooses to act. I think it's very interesting in sort of doing our homework for this Profiles. I realized, you know, she's never directed a film.
No.
She's never written. Mm-mm. She only produced one thing, and that was a TV movie back in the 80s. Mm. She just acts, and boy, does she act so well.
She does it well. Well, let's get into our It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Because Meryl has had a wonderful life. Roll it.
Mary Louise Streep was born on June 22, 1949 in Summit, New Jersey. Although Streep's early performing ambitions leaned towards the opera, she switched to acting while at Vassar College and later enrolled at the Yale School of Drama. She received her Master of Fine Arts from Yale in 1975, and 2 years later, she made her feature film debut opposite Jane Fonda in 1977's Julia. The following year, Streep was nominated for her first Academy Award for her role in The Deer Hunter, which was followed the very next year by her Oscar-winning turn in Kramer vs. Kramer. Over the next decade, Streep delivered one iconic performance after another in the likes of Sophie's Choice, Silkwood, Out of Africa, and A Cry in the Dark. Meryl Streep has been nominated for a whopping 19 Academy Awards, more than any other actor or actress in Oscar history. She's won 3 times, making her one of only 6 actors to have won 3 or more competitive Oscars for acting. Streep has been married to sculptor Don Gummer since 1978, and together they have 4 children.
What a life indeed.
What a life. Hard to fit all that in.
That could have been an hour show in itself, you
know.
Now, I have a feeling that our first blood is going to be different, as it always is.
Yeah, I think this one will be very different because I actually don't remember seeing Meryl in a film till 1992 with Death Becomes Her.
Death Becomes Her was your first Meryl movie.
And I loved it.
Did you see that in theaters?
No, again, I saw that on VHS with friends. I didn't go to the theater much when I was young, unfortunately. Make up for it now.
Yeah.
But just a really fun movie, a silly movie, a riff on aging and women and Hollywood. And Meryl was hilarious. She was so funny. It's not exactly a female-friendly movie.
No.
It's all about a woman's looks, but it is a good time.
It is a good time. Robert Zemeckis directed it.
Yeah.
And she co-stars with Goldie Hawn, who was the original choice to play Joanna Kramer in Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go. I wonder if they ever talked about that.
What's yours?
Mine was different. Of course, I did see this in theaters in 1978. Give it up for my parents once again for just bucking the trend and taking this little kid to see The Deer Hunter.
What?
I mean, come on, mom and dad.
When you were how old?
I was, let's see, 8 or 9.
Oh my gosh.
And they took me to see The Deer Hunter.
Whoa.
But
how are you so happy?
How did that not have a traumatic effect on me, especially the Russian roulette scene? I don't know. But I do remember Meryl Streep when she was beautiful and elegant, caught in a love triangle between Robert De Niro's character and Christopher Walken's character. Mm-hmm. But it was the next year where she really made a really, really big impact when she won her first Oscar for Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
But yeah, she played Linda in The Deer Hunter. That was my first blood with Meryl Streep. And it's obviously a great movie unto itself, The Deer Hunter. Won Best Picture for 1978.
Great movie, but did it make our Fast Five?
No, it did not.
Let's get into our Fast Five with number five.
Which is?
I will do what needs to be done.
Doubt. Ooh, this is a great movie. I forgot how great it was until I went back and watched it. Released December 12th, 2008. Directed by John Patrick Shanley, based on his play, which won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 2005. It cost $20 million to make. Box office was $51 million. Nominated for 5 Academy Awards. All of the acting nominees, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Viola Davis, Amy Adams, and of course Meryl Streep.
Well, this movie is all about the actors.
Yeah.
And what an incredible, impressive foursome they made. Meryl Streep, the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. But Meryl, this was her at her most frightening.
More frightening than
terrifying.
Devil Wears Prada, you think?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. She's a woman of God, and she seems almost pure evil. She's very ready to cast judgment and make assumptions. Apparently, John Patrick Shanley said that he wrote this play at the beginning of the Iraq War when everything was going on with a lot of judgments and assumptions and dangerous things coming from that. And this is, of course, a look at their sex scandal. Did he or didn't he? It ends up you don't know and doesn't really matter because it's all
doubts.
About yeah, it's all about doubt.
What I mean, just that last scene when she just like sort of loses it. I have doubt. It's
yeah.
So great. But when you're watching a movie like that, you just go, this is great acting. This is great writing. Everybody just freaking kills it in this movie.
You can tell it's a play, can't you? Because it's very wordy.
It's very wordy. It's very staged. But you're hanging on every word because the delivery of these performances are it's just phenomenal. Even Viola Davis, who's in two scenes, and she was nominated for it. But just to show you how method Meryl Streep got into this role, she hand-knitted the shawl that she wears.
Oh, really?
And the other thing is, like, when you're watching a Meryl Streep movie, you're going to rightly assume that Meryl was always the first choice to play this character.
Yeah, because you can't imagine anyone else.
You cannot imagine anyone else. However, other actresses to play this part considered were Annette Bening, Sigourney Weaver, Kathy Bates, Angelica Houston, and Frances McDormand.
Oh, I can't imagine the last one.
Nope, I can't imagine any of them because Meryl Streep is Meryl Streep.
And she really shines, and that's an incredible feat when she's got these actors to work with. Amy Adams, this is one of the first times that I was like, oh, she is fantastic.
Oh, interesting. This was the movie that did it for you for Amy Adams,
yeah.
Huh? Not June Bug?
No, I like June Bug, but this one really convinced me.
And also, you know, Oprah Winfrey wanted to play the part of Mrs. Miller that was played by Viola Davis, but Shanley wouldn't even let her read for it.
Oh.
Interesting. I wonder what's going on there. But some great comments from our profilers. Kyle Bailey said this about Doubt. Doubt is my favorite performance from Meryl Streep. She plays a character who was a total turnoff at first because she is so strict, but soon she makes you side with her. The scenes where she is confronted running Philip Seymour Hoffman about the scandal are fireworks of great acting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really are. Her scenes with Amy Adams and Viola Davis are a little more toned down, not that much more toned down, but she still makes it captivating to watch. She should have won her third Oscar for Doubt.
And a big hello to everyone who's watching live on YouTube right now. Hector Mendoza says, just got here. Malone and Mance look like hotties.
Well, hey,
thank you. We're all dressed up today. Tim Overton says about Doubt, in my opinion, the best performance Meryl Streep has given is found in Doubt. Sister Aloysius could have easily been a caricature, but Streep makes her nuanced and three-dimensional in a way that befits the film's title and theme. Without Streep in this role, we may have been subjected to a far more straightforward film. I agree
with that.
And that is why, for my right stuff,
yours is going to be
From Doubt. Yeah, that first scene when she starts to vocalize her doubt to Philip Seymour Hoffman's character, cast aspersions on this priest. When you have Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams, and Meryl Streep in one room, it's going to be electric, but I love the way that scene builds. It starts off down here, and then the intensity goes right up to the top, and it's all with words. There's no special effects or action happening. It's all words in one contained environment, and that, for me, I mean, she gives me chills because she's so...
So great.
So creepy
and
you can
strict.
Tell where she's going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she loves discipline.
Yep.
You can tell where she's going, but he wants her to say it, and she won't actually say it.
Wow. See, that's not the scene I thought you were going to pick.
What, you thought the Sophie's Choice?
Famous one? Which is why... I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, yeah.
I thought you were going to go with the Sophie's Choice one.
I was thinking about that.
So I had a backup plan, but since you didn't, so yes, I mean, the big reveal in Sophie's Choice.
Which, speaking German,
is there a more powerful scene from any actress that you can think of in motion picture history?
No, it's so tragic.
So tragic, heartbreaking, traumatic, and unforgettable, haunting, like watching it again. Over the weekend, you just go, oh my God, how did she nail that? Especially because she did it in German.
I know.
And it's such a great movie anyway, as we'll find out.
But the
backup scene I had was from Kramer versus Kramer. We will get to that. But before we do, a lot of great details, a lot of great trivia when mm-hmm. it comes to Meryl Streep. So what do you got for me, my friend?
Well, did you know?
Tell me.
That Meryl originally applied for law school. But she overslept the morning of her school interview, and she said she took it as a sign she was supposed to pursue other careers.
But, you know, she would have made a great attorney.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine her delivering her closing arguments?
Like From Doubt?
Yes! She would have been awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, do you know what Meryl Streep fans call themselves?
Streepers.
Yes.
I was trying to think of like Taylor Swift, Swifties. Streepers.
Profilers.
I want to be a streeper.
You are a streeper.
We go streeping.
Yeah.
We went streeping on the weekend. Eat, sleep, Meryl Streep. Did you know that when she got into movies, she had such a terrible experience on her first film, which was Julia. In 1977. She thought she'd made a terrible mistake and that she should never act again because apparently most of her role ended up on the cutting room floor. She had a terrible wig and bits of dialogue from one scene was taken and put into another scene and it was a disaster.
Well, did you know?
No.
I mean, did you know, Alicia Malone, that when Meryl Streep was filming The Deer Hunter, and she found out that the producers, the studio, wanted to drop John Cazale from the film because he was dying of cancer. She, too, threatened to drop out of the movie.
Oh,
now,
wow.
For a lot of people who don't know, Meryl Streep and John Cazale were involved. They were lovers, and she really took care of him up to his last moments.
Mm.
So not a lot of people actually know that, but that is something where it was just such a he made five movies.
Yeah.
And all five of them.
Five great movies,
yeah.
Yeah.
But,
you know,
that was just such a great performance.
Yeah.
And her grief in getting over his death was what propelled her to deliver such a great performance in Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, I'll throw another one at you.
Give it to me.
Did you know that when she won the Oscar, first Oscar for Kramer versus Kramer, she left it in the bathroom?
No, I didn't know that. She left it in the bathroom?
Someone found it and went, Meryl, this belongs to you.
She must have been so excited.
She was really, really,
that
really excited.
That is great. Well, moving on to number four in our Fast Five is...
That's all.
That's all. Like, you need to say anything else when it comes to The Devil Wears Prada, released June 30th, 2006. Directed by David Frankel. Meryl plays Miranda Priestly. Nominated for two Academy Awards, one for costume design, one for Best Actress, Meryl Streep. This is a fun movie, isn't it?
It's really fun. And Meryl is so intimidating. So it's based on a book. Allegedly, Meryl plays a version of Vogue editor Anna Wintour. And she is such a great ice queen. She's so cold. I love how monotone she delivers everything.
Yeah, she doesn't raise her voice.
No, which is creepier than if someone yells at you.
That, right.
That's all.
That's all.
That's all.
And she judges you.
She judges you. That's and all. Then goes out you go. And she's so elegant too, so beautiful. And then this was the movie that convinced me of Anne Hathaway. And also introduced me to Emily Blunt.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't seen her before.
Great performance from Emily Blunt. This is a movie that it was a lot of fun. It was not just a chick flick. I mean, I really had a good time with it. The movie cost $35 million to make, made $327 million worldwide at the box office. And kudos to our first guest of the day. Please welcome to Profiles, the director of The Devil Wears Prada, David Frankel. Thank you so much for joining us. You're on with Scott and Alicia.
It's my pleasure to join you today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And we were just talking about how much we love Devil Wears Prada. In your opinion, can you sum up why Meryl Streep is the greatest living actress we have right now? She's incredible.
She's incredible. If I had to put it in one word, I would say it's that she's fearless. And
yeah.
I think it's a characteristic of all people who are extraordinary at what they do, is that they have such confidence in their natural gifts that they're not afraid to take chances and to go that, try and get to that extra, that higher level. And she's constantly challenging herself. And, you know, when she finished making Prada, she went to do Mamma Mia. I mean, two movies are wildly different. And,
yeah.
Wow.
And I remember meeting her when I met her as we were starting to prep Hope Springs. She had just finished Iron Lady. So, you know, here she was playing the Prime Minister of the UK and then going to play this mousy housewife who's trying to fix her sex life. So, you know, really radically different shifts in roles. And she's just always challenging herself to do something different, never repeating herself.
Mm. Well, in terms of you saying how fearless she was, what did you see her do to prepare for this role? And how did Meryl even come to be cast as Miranda Priestly?
Well, she was at the top of our list. I mean, she was the dream casting, and as the studio said, "Well, take a shot." And she saw something in the character and in our screenplay by Aileen Brosh McKenna that she just loved. And with her guidance, I think we made it better. I mean, she had great insight into the character. But how she prepared there's a secret sauce that, you know, Meryl doesn't share a lot. And the one thing I know is that the look of each character that she does, and you'll see, you know, movie to movie, role to role, where she looks radically different. And in the case of Prada, obviously the clothes were a big part of who Miranda Priestly was, but also that white wig.
Yeah.
Really helped to make the character appear iconic and stand out in a crowd and be really special. And I think once she tried on the wig for the first time, I think she had the character.
Wow.
It suited the ice queenness of her character perfectly. Not sure if this is true. Is it true, or do you know if it is that Meryl on the first day of filming said some nice words to Anne Hathaway and said, "And then that's the last nice word I'll say to you."
You know, she did say that for sure. Because I remember Annie running to me quite shocked. And then I think that both Annie and Emily realized that, you know, Meryl is this warm, gracious, easy to laugh, a really lovable person when she's not playing Miranda Priestly. But it was really important for her Meryl to keep her distance from the other actors. She didn't want them to be comfortable with her. She wanted to make sure that they felt as intimidated as their characters would feel.
Well, it worked.
And, you know, as soon as the shoot was over, I think they all bonded. It became very, very close friends. But during this, you know, normally Meryl said, I make cookies for the crew and I hang out and I go for drinks, and there was none of that.
Well, what we love, one of the things we love about Miranda Priestly is that she never raises her voice. So was that always the plan? Was that she wasn't going to be a screamer, that she was just going to be more terrifying by just delivering her dialogue in a real cold way? And what was behind that artistic decision?
Yeah, I think that was something that Aline McKenna and I talked about, and it was written with this kind of quiet menace, you know, in fact, you know, so that she doesn't scream, you know, she's very dismissive and condescending, you know, her catchphrase is, that's all, you know,
yeah,
just rid of problems and people. But I know, you know, that was something that Meryl talked to us about early on, and how to reshape the screenplay specifically for her. And I know her role models for that kind of character were Clint Eastwood and Mike Nichols.
Clint Eastwood and Mike Nichols?
Yeah, so, well, she had been directed by both of them, and I'm told that's, you know, they're very, very quiet in the way that they work, but very forceful.
Wow.
And so she used them as models for Miranda.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool.
That's really cool. And as a director yourself working with Meryl, what did you learn from that experience?
Not to scream. No, I'm not that kind of director anyway. What did I learn? What I learned is that movies are made in fragments. You don't have to make, they're just a collection of moments. And my job as a director is just to harvest the moment. And one of the wonderful things that Meryl does is that she's constantly providing, in that risk-taking way that we talked about earlier, she's going for something different every time. She's giving you as many different moments as she possibly can. So a lot of times a take will have, you know, something brilliant, something not as brilliant, something mind-blowing, and your job is to go back and piece it all together into the most cohesive and best version. But it was that, her ability to take chances and not be afraid to fail,
wow,
knowing that somehow, you know, there would be gold at the end of the day. That was, for me, a real eye-opener.
Well, speaking of gold, maybe striking twice, or lightning striking twice, is there any update you can give us on the sequel novel being turned into a movie, Revenge Wears Prada, and whether you and Meryl and Anne will all come back for more fun and fashion?
Well, I know just as friends, we'd love to, but I fear it's never going to happen because Meryl never repeats herself. And, you know, she's never done a sequel, and I can't imagine she ever will.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. She never does repeat herself. But one last question before we let you go. What is your favorite Meryl Streep movie? Tough question, but we got to hear it.
It is tough. I'm gonna go with the first movie I ever saw her in, which was Manhattan. It's a small role, Woody Allen's Manhattan. And she was stunningly beautiful and brilliantly confrontational and really hilarious with Woody. And those couple of short scenes just stuck with me over the last 30, I think it's been, you know, since 1977 they made that movie. So,
yep.
And a really extraordinary. I mean, obviously there are another 50 brilliant movies along since then. You know, and Out of Africa, I think, you know, if you're looking for one of the epics, that's also just extraordinary.
But listen, what was extraordinary was hearing from you and having you call into our show to talk about the great Meryl Streep. David Frankel, thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you.
And
pleasure.
We'll see you in the next movie. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Very cool. Right. Guest number one.
Guest number one. So she channeled Miranda Priestly.
She channeled Clint Eastwood and Mike Nichols.
Interesting. Never would have guessed that.
No, I imagine just in terms of the quietness, because both those men were really lovely. They are really lovely. I know Clint, I never got a chance to speak with Mike Nichols, but Clint Eastwood, he's quiet,
right,
which can come across as intimidating,
sure,
but then just like a puppy dog underneath.
Yeah,
I think.
He just sort of like what he does is
interviews.
he just says anytime you're ready.
Yeah,
when he's ready to do a take. But getting back into the movie itself, I got to say, like I was saying, this is not a chick flick. Like you said, it's based on loosely based or on Vogue editor Anna Wintour. Did you ever see the September issue?
Yeah,
that's a good movie.
That is a really good documentary.
And who did you think about while you were watching the September issue?
I thought of Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep,
and I
absolutely.
Read the book too before this movie.
Oh, you
and
did.
That's a really good read. Well, it's quite satirical, and it is kind of a dark role for her as well.
It is dark, but she shows vulnerability, especially in one key scene where she's talking to Anne Hathaway about her divorce.
She does, but I love the fact that Miranda Priestley does not change at the end.
She's even more ruthless than when she started.
It's great.
Now, speaking of ruthless, have you ever had a demanding boss on that level, like Miranda Priestley?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
I don't want to say, because I think that they watch Profiles.
Oh, well, hey, that's great.
And now very supportive of me, but at the time made my life hell.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
The worst, yeah.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
But look at me now. I got a sparkly dress.
We're talking to directors and filmmakers on Profiles. Yo.
Right.
But in his New York Times review, A.O. Scott said this about Meryl Streep. She inspires both terror and a measure of awe as the imperious editor of this glossy fashion magazine. And did you know that when the shoot was over, Meryl donated her wardrobe to charity?
Yeah, and she kept her sunglasses though.
Oh,
because she liked those sunglasses. Well, Seb Lacey also likes The Devil Wears Prada, and he wrote to our Facebook page, Meryl Streep as Miranda Priestley in The Devil Wears Prada is a wonderful role. While wanting to despise her, I could see the logic as a businesswoman making the tough decisions. The scene where she points out the importance of a blue skirt is one of my favorite scenes. You can also see snippets of her personal life where she did care about her family, but she had to be ruthless to be successful. Apparently, Anna Wintour, she didn't go to the premiere of the film. She went to an advanced screening. She wore head-to-toe Prada, and apparently she liked the character of Miranda Priestley because she liked how decisive she was.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
There's a bold, you know, statement. And Laura Deneva says, Streep in The Devil Wears Prada showed the audience an entirely new face, proving she can portray anyone. Miranda is just a mesmerizing character. The movie passed the point where it was just a quote-unquote chick flick, and thanks to Streep, Anne Hathaway, and Emily Blunt, it presented a great character development.
Well, Tyler Myers is watching right now live. Hi.
Hi, Tyler.
Great first guest. And Hector Mendoza says, hey guys, I don't know if you want to play along, but I'm taking a drink every time Alicia and Scott give each other high fives. So you ready?
Okay. Drink away. One more.
And
take another one.
Yeah,
yes.
That's how we roll.
You're going to be a lot of fun by the time this show is over. And that brings us now to Alicia's favorite part of Profiles.
Oh,
the quiz show. Okay. I'm going to hit you up first. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. In Kramer versus Kramer, where did Joanna Kramer say she went to college? Was it A, Northwestern? Was it B, Smith? Was it C, Notre Dame? Or was it D, UCLA?
That's the one you winked at me for.
Oh, come on!
You're so subtle.
That was not subtle at all.
I know, that's what I mean.
Damn.
I'm being sarcastic, but yeah.
It was Smith.
It was Smith.
Yes, Joanna Kramer went to Smith.
No, in other words. Okay, so we all know that Meryl has been nominated for 19 Oscars,
okay.
But how many Grammys has she been nominated
oh,
for?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it A, 5, B, 2, or C, 3?
Well, subtlety is not our strong point,
we
is it?
We should just read this out as facts because
we should
don't
just put it into
it
trivia.
Properly.
Was it 5?
It was.
5! Way
so,
to go.
Take another shot.
Drink another shot, my friend.
So first 4 were for Best Album for Children, where she did the spoken word. And then the 5th was for the Mamma Mia soundtrack.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, let's keep things moving.
Keep moving on our Fast 5. Coming in at number 3 is...
I know I left my son. I know that that's a terrible thing to do. Believe me, I have to live with that every day of my life.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Great movie. This is a perfect, flawless film. Released on December 19th, 1979. Directed by Robert Benton. Nominated for 9 Academy Awards. It won 5. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Actor, Dustin Hoffman, who we will absolutely do a Profiles on him.
We must. And he is brilliant in this
brilliant.
Movie.
Wow.
I love Kramer versus Kramer, and this reminded me how much I love this movie.
Right.
Although it's set in 1979, so back then divorce was a bigger deal than it it is now, it still reflects those times of how men and women and their roles at work and at home were shifting and changing. And you can still relate to it today and you can still enjoy the film. This is Meryl's small but surprising role.
And it was her first time she won an Oscar for Supporting Actress. This was the highest grossing movie of 1979. It cost $8 million to make, but it made $108 million at the box office. And like you said, it was you forget when you're watching this movie how groundbreaking it was for 1979 because it represented such a cultural shift in motherhood and fatherhood.
Yeah.
You know, now these days, unfortunately, divorce is a dime a dozen. 50% of people get divorced. Mm-hmm. So, or married couples get divorced. But in Roger Ebert's review for Kramer versus Kramer, he said, what makes the movie such a touching film is that we get the feeling that the personalities are changing and decisions are being made even as we watch the movie go along.
That's the thing. She's so real. She doesn't have much of a screen time. Apparently, originally she was supposed to be cast as Dustin Hoffman's One Night Stand.
Jo Beth Williams played that character.
And and then Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels was supposed to be in the main role, but she couldn't do it because of Charlie's Angels. So Meza stepped up, and she's so good in this role because she gives such a complexity to this character. Apparently she rewrote a lot of the dialogue. She felt like a lot of it was coming from a male perspective and making Joanna out to be the enemy. And she wanted to be able to understand her and have audiences understand her. And you do. You feel sorry for her.
Yeah.
As much as you're annoyed by her, as much as you're thinking it's a terrible thing she's doing.
You want to hate her.
You can't hate
her.
But you can't. Because you feel sorry for her.
You feel sorry for her. You sympathize with her. She just wasn't ready for motherhood. She didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
But this is just an amazing showcase, absolutely, for Dustin Hoffman. I mean, he is so great. I love the scene.
Oh, great.
She comes back into his life and she makes her reappearance 52 minutes into the movie. And then they're meeting at the diner and they're just, you know, he's thinking maybe she's going to come back.
Mm.
And then when she says she wants Billy and he like flicks the wine glass against the wall. I mean, this is just a sensational movie.
His relationship with the kid and then the courtroom scene.
Courtroom scene.
Fantastic.
I love the ice cream scene.
And the ice cream.
That would have been me.
This is definitely a film I recommend people watch if they haven't already.
Yeah, it is
you
a fantastic movie.
You will enjoy it. It's worthwhile.
In fact, Liam Logrand, one of our favorite profilers. I love Liam. He's awesome. Big Beatles fan. I think it's safe to say that Streep's best performance comes from Kramer versus Kramer. While I believe that Peter Sellers, for being there, should have won the Oscar over Dustin Hoffman that year, there's no doubt that Streep deserved her best supporting actress win. She may not be the greatest mom in the world, but Streep's performance is so captivating that I felt empathy for her character. Her performance alone makes this easily one of my favorite courtroom dramas.
Well, another profiler we love, Dan Skip Allen, says, a mother who doesn't know if she can be a mother anymore, so she gives up her son. As the father, Dustin Hoffman takes over and tries to do things he never did. Meryl plays the mother so timid, but did she really deserve her son back? If you give your child up, then that's it in my mind. She was great as this failed mother, and the movie as a whole showed a subject we haven't seen before. Also, shout out to George McCann and Rachel Cushing, two more friends who are watching live on YouTube. I am trying to keep an eye on all the comments, and I'll try and read out some of them. Rachel Cushing says, you understand both sides, which is a sign of an intelligent story and spectacular acting.
Yep, absolutely. Kramer versus Kramer. It's so, so great. I've seen the movie like 5 times, and every time I see it, I'm just still marveled by the power of the writing, of the performances.
George McCann says, one of the most emotional endings ever.
Yeah, that's a great ending.
Unexpected endings, too.
Yeah, when he comes back and she goes, I wanted to take Billy home, but I realized he is home, and he just smiles at her, and the door closes, and that's it.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so great.
Duck Fortress says, this is cinema for you.
Yep, this is cinema. Absolutely. Cinema. Movies, cinema.
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 We're waiting for another guest to call through.
We are waiting for another guest. In the meantime, we'll talk about the others because this next movie that we're going to have a call in from will fit quite nicely with the others, which, by the way, our others, once again, after Tom Hanks, this could have taken up a whole other show.
Yeah.
Because in addition to our Fast Five, Meryl Streep has made so many great movies. And I know we're going to get it for not mentioning certain ones.
Mm-hmm.
But what were some of the movies on your list?
Have to mention A Cry in the Dark, 1989. The Dingo's Got My Baby. That line has become such a part of pop culture now. And I hear it all the time being Australian. But Meryl is fantastic as this reserved mother trying to prove her innocence. And a great Australian accent, and that is really hard to do.
Like, why is an Australian accent so hard to do?
It's really hard.
It really is. Well, another movie on our list is Into the Woods, and that means we are so proud and excited to be joined right now by the director of Into the Woods. Rob Marshall is on the line with us. Mr. Marshall, thanks for calling into Profiles. You are talking to Alicia and Scott.
Hi, Alicia and Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. And it's timely because we get to talk to you about Meryl Streep's 19th Oscar nomination. How happy were you to hear about that?
Oh, thrilled. I mean, you know, it's interesting. You think she has so many. Does it mean much at this point? It means a lot because it's about the work. And that's what she's all about. She's all about the work. And I was so thrilled for her, and I know she was thrilled too. She's very proud of this movie.
Well, what is it, you know, it's all about the work, and once she got past a certain point, she had been offered which roles a number of times, turned them down. What was it about Into the Woods that made her say yes?
I think Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine, the material, you know, the material is not a cliche witch. You know, it's a very fully dimensional witch. She brings such vulnerability to the character. You feel for her. It's not just that kind of one-note thing. She also transforms into a beautiful witch, and there's a full journey for her. And the material is extraordinary, extraordinary.
And a lot of people don't realize that Meryl originally wanted to be an opera singer. So is it true that a lot of her songs were sung live, and how was she when it came to the singing?
I think she loves singing. I mean, you know, it's sort of an untapped thing. I mean, we do, of course, we've seen her in Mamma Mia. People know her singing from Postcards from the Edge and even from Ironweed and some work on stage as well. But the truth is she's this extraordinary singer. And I have to say that even though I knew all that going into this, when we started to work on Into the Woods and she started to sing those Sondheim songs, the power of the voice blew me away. I mean, I think when you see the film, you're sort of knocked out by this vocal power she has, which I don't think she's ever done before to this effect. And I know it was thrilling and scary for her, but it was, for me, from where I was watching it, seeing it unfold, was really historic.
Well, you know,
this great actor singing like that.
Watching so many Meryl Streep movies over the last 30 plus years, just when you think you've seen it all, Mr. Marshall, you see Meryl deliver this incredible performance in Into the Woods. So my question was, like, while you were filming the movie with her, like, was there a particular moment where you had to take a step back and just go, oh my God, that was absolutely brilliant. This is why she's the greatest actress of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, I guess for me, if I had to pick a moment, it's not easy because she brings so much to everything she does always. It's that fearlessness she has and the passion that she brings every time to everything. That's what sort of has her head and shoulders above anybody, really. But I guess I'd have to choose Stay With Me, the song Stay With Me that she sings to Rapunzel. It's just so heartbreaking and so vulnerable and so so personal. I mean, that's what I felt about it. And then it was, you know, she's screaming at her one moment, and then she's trying to let her daughter understand why she feels the way she does because of great love. It's her misinterpretation of what love is. You know, it's very deep, this piece. It has a lot to say about parents and children, and she just understood it so deeply. And I remember the entire crew, no one breathed. No one was breathing. And the crew members were crying because she just is so fully connected, so deep.
Well, I was going to ask about the Streep effect. Do you see an effect on the rest of the cast when she's in a scene with them? Yeah.
Yes, oh my gosh. It's like, you know, playing, I don't know, tennis with the greatest tennis player of all time. It just ups everybody's game. I remember the first day of rehearsal, we just started with the scene in the kitchen when her first entrance in the baker's shop. And she comes in and she didn't have a script. She was off book, as we call it. She knew her lines. Everyone else was standing with a script in their hand. She knew every word, every lyric of that insane opening song that she has, which is so complicated.
Yeah.
And she was jumped in 1,000%, like all the way. She wasn't marking at all. She went 100% and into this character and blew everybody away. They were so thrilled and nervous and thought, oh my gosh, this is where it is. And then of course, then from then on, it was everybody was really playing at the top of their game.
Amazing.
Because she asks that, not for any kind of intimidation or anything like that. It's only because she's an explorer. She's looking to find what she's going to do, and she uses the time because it's very precious time.
Well, speaking of exploring and using the time to really deliver, which she obviously does. I'm just curious about her collaborative process. You know, some actors they just take direction, and some actors will come in and say, this is what I'd like to do. So just tell me about your collaborative process in developing the witch with her.
She loves to collaborate. It's very important, you know, especially if she trusts you, you know. And I think the rehearsal process for us was great because then you sort of form a trust.
Yeah.
So when you're on, when you're working and you're filming, you know, I only want her to be great, and I'm there as her eye, and to make sure that, you know, everything we're trying to get from it is happening. And it feels like a teamwork, and she loves that. But she's like that with the rest of the cast too. She's there to create something special together. And I have to say that, you know, by having a rehearsal process, which you must in a musical film, makes you form a company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a company. And I think that ensemble feel, I think you feel that in the film.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you feel that everybody's in the same film.
Yeah.
I think you feel everybody's sort of passing the baton from scene to scene to the next story. And it feels like everyone's working to be great together as a unit, you know. And she led that for sure.
Well, before we let you go, the tough question, what is your favorite Meryl Streep movie?
Oh, my gosh, that's a hard one.
It's a hard one.
I guess, you know, I always go right to the first time I was aware of her, which was Kramer versus Kramer.
Yes.
Yep.
And, well, then Sophie's Choice following that soon after. You know, those amazing roles where she just sort of blew everyone away. I actually remember seeing her even earlier than that in a television film called The Holocaust.
I remember that. Yep, I
remember
that.
That.
Oh, yeah.
That was extraordinary, and The Deer Hunter, too.
Wow.
I mean, those early performances, it was sort of like, this woman can do anything. She can transform, and she's like no one else. And it's true. And let me tell you, having worked with her, that's true personally, too. What a great person. What a wonderful, giving, loving great person.
Well, thank you for being so giving and loving and calling into Profiles.
We appreciate it.
Rob Marshall, thank you so much. You have a great, great day and all the best
to you.
Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia. I had a great time. Thank you.
Thanks. You.
Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Take another shot.
Yes. Yay! Take another shot.
What a great guy.
Very well, super, super. You know, I've interviewed him a couple times. He's so articulate and full of so much passion. And for the kinds of movies he's directed,
yep.
Obviously Chicago won Best Picture 2002. You know, you got to have that kind of passion.
Yeah, he's a master. And on YouTube, Tyler Cooper says simply, Meryl Streep is a great actress.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true. Yeah, she is a great actress.
It's true. And a lot of people enjoying Rob Marshall's interview. He was lovely.
He was truly lovely. And so some other great films in our others. I was going to say Out of Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
Robert Redford.
Say.
This is an epic romance from 1985.
Sydney Pollack.
Won Best Picture that year. Great score, by the
she
way.
She does a Danish accent.
She does a Danish accent.
She can do everything.
We should have just done the different accents of the others.
Because she does regional American as well as all these foreign
right.
accents. Adaptation.
Adaptation. So good.
2008, Charlie Kaufman's mindy, bendy, thriller, comedy. Bizarre, but she's fantastic. Unexpected ending. And I love the scene with Meryl Streep when she's doing the ringtone.
The ringtone. That's all you have with Chris Cooper.
On the orchid dust.
That movie, the first time I saw it, I was like, man, what happened to the last half hour of this movie? And then I realized, oh, the brother wrote that part. Now I get it.
So smart.
It's so brilliant. I love The River Wild.
Oh, yeah.
Came out in 1994, directed by Curtis Hanson.
I've seen that once.
It's fun.
I'm going to say it again.
Talk about an actress who doesn't repeat herself. She played an action hero in this movie.
She can do action.
And she can do anything. It's a very very entertaining, fun movie. Kevin Bacon as the bad guy, which I think was the first time he had ever done something like that.
Yeah.
What else you got?
And I was also going to say Bridges of Madison County, which I know you have written down there,
too. Cried my eyes out.
So sad.
So sad. Another accent.
Like, yeah, another accent. It could be a good movie for Valentine's Day if you feel like a bit of a cry.
Well, I wanted to say, you know, The French Lieutenant's Woman.
Yeah.
Heartburn. And also a movie that I really thought got overlooked back in 2004, The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, I forgot she was in that.
This is a movie, I got to tell you, Leash, it is a fantastic remake. Mm-hmm. It was much better than it had any right to be, although I knew when Jonathan Demme was directing the film, I knew that it would be at least good. But it was very timely, very relevant. Meryl Streep played this sort of Lady Macbeth type of mother to Leash Schreiber.
Yeah, because I remember the classic.
Yes.
The classic movie, and I'd seen that a lot of times, and then I really liked the update. I thought it was done well.
Some profiles chimed in on some of the others that we were talking about. Camille Howard said, of adaptation, I thought she was amazing. An adaptation. Before I saw that movie, I was accustomed to composed, collected Meryl. An adaptation was one of the first times I really saw her become unhinged. I love that word, unhinged.
Unhinged.
Plus, she falls in love with Chris Cooper's character so convincingly.
I agree. James Ryan talks about The Manchurian Candidate. Her controlling and often creepy personality is shown brilliantly through Streep's acting and is one of the major reasons that this movie worked as a remake. Totally agree.
Totally agree. And George McCann said this about Music of the Heart.
Yeah.
Came out in 1999, a movie that was originally going to star Madonna. I have never seen Meryl Streep in a film I truly did not like. She is a rare talent. When Streep comes on the screen, I never see Meryl Streep, which is true. I always see the character she is portraying as one of my favorite films of hers, Music of the Heart. It's not a glossy film, not a showy performance. It is simply a fantastic true story about a mother trying to do what's right by her children. It is a film that always hits home for me, and it is, my opinion, Streep's most rewatchable film. Not only a brilliant performance, but a brilliant film. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Let's get into our Fast Five. Number two.
Amazing Grace.
Singing again.
How sweet the sound.
See, she can sing. Silkwood.
Wow, what a movie. Released December 14th, 1983. Directed by Mike Nichols, the first time they worked together. Five Oscar nominations, including editing, screenplay, director, supporting actress, Cher, best actress, Meryl Streep. Cost $10 million to make, made about $36 million. This is a provocative and daring film, and I think it's a great American movie.
It's a rough and tough underdog role, and this was a movie on our Fast Five that I'd never seen.
Oh.
Never saw it before, but enjoyed it. It's very much of its time because it's talking about nuclear power plants and plutonium, but it also feels contemporary in terms of it could be compared to Aaron Brockovich or The Blind Side because, again, it stars this imperfect, unlikely hero. I mean, she wears a mullet.
She wears a mullet.
And she wears it well. She looks good. She's scruffy. She's sexy. I mean, she character leaves her kids in one city, sleeps with a lot of guys, but I love the way she changes throughout the movie.
And she is a flawed character. In fact, Meryl herself spoke this about Karen Silkwood. She wasn't Joan of Arc at all. She was unsavory in some ways, and yet she did some very good things. The film ultimately is about people being asleep in their lives and waking up.
I like that description.
It's a great description.
And Cher, who was nominated for an Oscar 4 years later, says she credits Meryl Streep on this movie for making her an actress.
Did you know that she started filming Silkwood 2.5 weeks after she rapped on Sophie's Choice?
What?
And these roles
so different.
It's like what David Frankel was saying before about how she just goes from movie to movie and they're just so different.
Yeah.
Could these roles be any more different?
And she always adds layers to every character she plays.
This character,
she's made more complex than might seem on paper. And I think that comes back to what both directors said about her, that she's fearless.
Well, Lina Charles also feels that Meryl Streep is fearless in this movie. The subtlety and depth with which she reveals Sophie's wounds are simply... Wait, I'm sorry. I rushed ahead. Going back to Silkwood, Rachel Cushing, who did the brackets on this movie.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
In Silkwood, Meryl once again shows the immense range she has as an actress. As the movie progresses, she goes from being a fun and confident woman to a champion to a woman terrified for her life. Based on true events, Silkwood is a intense, emotional, and inspiring story about a woman who speaks up for what is right. Consequences be damned. But Streep keeps her hero, Karen, from being two-dimensional. She's got gumption and a sense of humor, but is also flawed and isn't about having fears. This is one of Mike Nichols' most authentic and moving films, and thanks to Streep, the courage of Karen Silkwood is forever immortalized on film.
Very well said. And as you mentioned, Rachel Cushing ran the brackets on our Facebook page this week, which is Profiles with Malone and Mance. And she said that this week she decided to post her Oscar-nominated roles, so 16 out of the 19 nominated. The final two matchups were The Sister from Doubt and Miranda Priestley from The Devil Wears Prada, and then Sophie from Sophie's Choice and Susan from Adaptation. So the final got down to Sister from Doubt, Sophie from Sophie's Choice. The winner is...
Sophie.
No.
No, The Sister from Doubt.
Yes.
No way.
The Nun beat them all.
Wow, The Nun beat them all.
Big thanks to Rachel Cushing.
Thanks, Rachel.
And also Steve Zissou and everyone who gets involved on our Facebook page. Again, Profiles with Malone and Mance is where you can find it.
And make sure you go to Profiles with Malone and Mance. This is our Facebook page, and it is the place you want to be. Head over to our Facebook page right now. Give it a like. Join in on the fun with the brackets, with chiming in into why people love these movies week after week, because as you can see and hear, we do read these comments on the air and we give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. Make sure you also go to iTunes. This is really, really important. Please go to iTunes. Even if you're watching the show on YouTube, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review us on our podcast on iTunes. Believe it or not, these ratings and reviews are what keep us going week after week. And we do want to keep on going week after week. So please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Make sure you follow me and Alicia on Twitter. She's at Alicia Malone. I know that's really hard to remember, but it's at Alicia Malone, and I'm at Movie Mance on Twitter. Please follow us, and then there's YouTube.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can catch this show live every week, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. LA time, and you can also catch up with it anytime on YouTube and write us comments, and we love to read them.
We read them. We respond to them. We read your tweets. We read your Facebook comments. Mm-hmm. Again, go Profiles with Malone and Mance on our Facebook page and like it. We want you to like it and share it.
He could sell anything, this guy. So make sure you do what he says. And people on YouTube are already guessing what our number one
is. I spilled the beans.
So Fast Five, number one.
Yes, it's this. Yes.
Steven, you made a plan.
Oh. Wow.
Even if you don't read the subtitles, it's still chilling.
Sophie's Choice. Choice came out December 8th, 1982, directed by Alan J. Pakula. Five Oscar nominations, one win. Best Actress, Meryl Streep. This is an epic drama, a complex drama, riveting, engrossing, heartbreaking, and devastating.
And I think this is a role that really encapsulates what Meryl can do best, because you've got the technical side. When she learnt German, she learnt Polish, she did a flawless Polish accent. Apparently some of the extras on the set who were Polish thought she was actually Polish because she was so good. And then you have the emotional side of things, where you really begin to understand Sophie, and she changes so much throughout the film as the lies and the web starts to unravel in front of your eyes. You see her go through a range of emotions, from joy to depression to fear and anxiety, a lot of guilt and heartbreak.
But when the camera is on her, as she's telling the story, she is radiant. She is so beautiful. And I can tell you, Kevin Kline, this was his second movie.
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
Full of life.
Full of life. And you don't realize, there's a lot going on, and you don't realize by the end how much everything is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the secrets that Sophie has. Because of the secret that Kevin Kline's character has. He's a lunatic. You got this love triangle between Meryl Streep, Kevin Kline, and Peter McNichol. I mean, it's a complex drama. It's 2.5 hours long, but it does fly by. Now, about that scene.
Which comes right towards the end.
Right towards the end. Now, there's conflicting reports. Now, Meryl Streep said she only remembered filming it just once, and she did not remember seeing the scene again until she was on Oprah Winfrey's show. Oprah showed it to her, and Meryl confessed, "I have not seen this scene since I filmed it."
My gosh, but then the kid says...
Yeah, she was 4 years old when she made the movie. The daughter, played by Jennifer Lawn, said that she filmed it 13 times. Now, how does she know? She was 14. She was four years old.
Years old.
Yeah. But, I mean, I love that is two stories here.
There's also the story that she begged Alan, the director, for the role, literally throwing herself on the ground.
Can you blame her?
To beg for it. But this is one of the greatest performances ever,
ever
on film.
Absolutely.
And of course, it's so ingrained in pop culture. Everyone talks about Sophie's Choice. JTE on the Schmoes No Movie Show always does Schmoes Choice, where it comes down to two options.
Well, Sophie's Choice is like, it's a pop cultural reference now.
Yeah.
When people are forced to choose between two things that they really, really love.
They can't.
So, so what is your Sophie's Choice? Like, when you have to choose between two things you really love, what are the two things you have to choose from?
Hmm.
And what wins?
Classic films or indie films.
Really? That's it?
I don't know.
Not ice cream?
Maybe ice cream and chocolate and pizza.
Okay.
I'll stick with the movie theme and go classics versus
classic indies. Classic versus indies. Can you guess what my Sophie's Choice is?
Something to do with the Beatles. The Beatles versus Star Trek.
The Beatles versus Star Trek.
Is that right?
That is right. Take another shot. Yes. I have often been asked, what would you, if you had to choose between Star Trek and the Beatles, what would you choose? And I always say, I cannot choose. This is Sophie's Choice. I love them both equally. But when it comes to one that affected my life and my career, then Star Trek does have the edge.
Oh.
Yeah, Star Trek.
I didn't think you'd say that.
Yeah, Star Trek. If it wasn't for Star Trek, I would not be in California.
You'd be like, take the Beatles.
Take the Beatles. Take the Beatles.
Take the Beatles. Well, Lynette Charles. Back
yes,
to Lynette.
Back to Lynette.
About Sophie's Choice says, Meryl Streep's performance is simply brilliant. The subtlety and depth with which she reveals Sophie's wounds are simply spellbinding. She's radiantly beautiful, yet deeply wounded. She's charming, yet vulnerable. She's someone you want to love, yet someone whose pain keeps you at a distance. The film takes you on an intense emotional journey. Anyone who is a parent would have to be an emotional rock not to have been absolutely haunted by this story. With this film, Meryl Streep's performance is a gift to humanity. I love Lynette.
Yep, Lynette, you could not have said more appropriate words. And our good friend Mark Tordai, who we love.
Yay.
Mark is the man. Of all the great performances that Meryl has given over the years, her most haunting has to be Sophie's Choice. Sporting a flawless Polish accent in her Oscar-winning turn, Meryl's portrayal of a Polish immigrant is certainly her best work to date. While the choice Sophie makes isn't revealed until the end of the film, it's a terrible reminder of the loss of humanity that occurred during the Holocaust and is a performance that you won't forget anytime soon.
True that. And Bill Polahan says about Scott's Choice, Scott, what?
Yes, I know. Well, again, I love them both. I love the Beatles and I love Star Trek, but one
that's
did affect my life.
Choice.
Sophie's Choice.
Sophie's Choice. All right, let's recap our Fast Five.
Coming in at number five is Doubt. Number four, The Devil Wears Prada. Number three, Kramer versus Kramer. Number two, Silkwood. Number one, Sophie's Choice. And before we get to our big announcement, this is the big announcement here. Before we get to that, once again,
and
I know
I'm
we
not
just
pregnant,
mentioned this.
The people who are saying that on YouTube, I'm not pregnant.
I am not pregnant. Either, but make sure you go to our Facebook page again. It's Profiles with Malone and Mance.
It would have to be an immaculate conception.
That would be, yes. Jeez, I totally lost my train of thought. Thanks a lot.
Let's have a listen to who we've got next week.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something.
Will Smith. And here's the announcement. You say it. You tell him.
All right. Our biggest guest yet. For our Will Smith profiles, we sat down with Will Smith
himself. We sat down with Woo. Will Smith. He gave us an interview. They made it happen for us. The studio, his personal rep, made sure that Profiles with Malone and Mance had time to sit down with Will Smith alone. Talking about his career and, of course, in 4 minutes, as well as his new movie called Focus, which opens on February 27th. So please do come back for what's sure to be our biggest and best profiles yet on Will Smith. Come back, watch us interview Big Willie. Until next time.
I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Scott Mass. I'd like to thank JTE.
Oh, JTE!
And everyone for watching. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Bye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.